I will ask if you will turn with me, and I will be reading two selections of Scripture. And before we partake of the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, may we prepare our heart with instruction from the Word. And the thought of, in remembering Christ's death, we too are called to do the same. I'll be reading Luke chapter 22 and verses 14 through 20. And that is in Luke's gospel, the representation of that event when the Lord Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. And then I will also be reading just two verses from 1 Corinthians in chapter 11, when the Apostle Paul speaks of how the Lord delivered unto him these same things, and then with instruction. I realize you've been up and down a couple times today, but if you are physically able, I'm going to ask if you will to join me in standing as I read from Luke and 1 Corinthians, Luke 22 and 14. And when the hour came, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, Take this and divide it among yourselves, for I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise the cup after they had eaten, saying, This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant. And now if we'll go to 1 Corinthians in chapter 11, in verses 28 and 29. And please forgive me, I did not add verse 27. I want to add it right now, okay? But I will be reading verse 27 of what the apostle wrote by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit after speaking of the Lord's Supper. He said, Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself, then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Word, and for those who have ears to hear, may you receive it as God's revelation to you today. You may be seated. I've already had fun before church reminiscing with Kenny Norris and hearing some stories of old at Waco Baptist, and I thought of one this week. It's probably one I've shared before in 15 years, but I can't remember when. That doesn't mean anything. I don't remember what I had for lunch yesterday already. But when I was young, probably around Tori's age, 11, 12 years old, I had a friend spend the night with me. It was a Saturday night, so we had church on the Lord's Day the next day, and it was the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. I always was one, still am, to do things for just a laugh or shock value. I'm very deep like that, you know. And I remember it was in the old church at Waco, or what I call the old church anyway, the old sanctuary. And I was showing off while Dad was leading in the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, and I didn't take the bread quite when he told us to, and me and my friend were standing off to the side, and then I began to dip the little cracker in the juice and was being cute like that, and thought all was well until after services. And I don't know if Kenny remembers this person or not. I'm sure that he does. I'm just trying to think of timelines quickly. But Anna Frances Blaylock. Do you remember Anna Frances Blaylock? Yeah. Anna Frances was 100 when I was a kid. She had to live to be 150, I would say. But she is at home with the Lord now. And Anna Frances grabbed me right after services. I mean, I didn't even get out of the pew. And she was very frustrated with me. She had saw what I had done during the Lord's Supper and being cute. And, you know, that memory, it was seared into my mind, but even more than that, into my heart. Because the truth is, I deserved to be scolded that day. It wasn't just the act of dipping a cracker in juice that tainted my Lord's Supper that Sunday morning. That it was a disrespectful, it was a shameful attitude as a young Christian that had been baptized before the church that caused me to miss that morning the truth, the joy, and blessed worship of coming to the Lord's table to remember that God, by His unmeasurable grace and deep love, had invited me to come through Jesus Christ. And that was the problem. And that morning I missed the joy of what Christ had done for me at the cross of Calvary. Still today and many years later, this is a time for me, but it's a time for all of us as Christians here today to examine ourselves, as the Apostle Paul stated, and make sure that we're not eating the supper in an unworthy manner. Let's pray. God, would you forgive us today of the times that we have approached this table too casually, too nonchalant, as just a type of a religious act that we do ever so often, not considering the impact of it and how it is so necessary to us because we see that you gave it to your apostles before you went to suffer and you said, do this to remember me. Forgive us of these things, Lord, and God, would you direct our hearts to you this morning, to the love, the deep, deep love that you revealed to us at the cross of Calvary and the shed blood there. Would you direct our hearts to you this morning, and may we all see the sacredness of this hour. And how it can have great impact upon our spiritual life. Bless us, Lord, as we take just a few moments to examine ourselves with your word. And God of mercy and grace, I ask for your assistance this morning to speak to these beautiful people. An unworthy servant. In Christ's name, amen. In the scripture text that we read just a moment ago from Luke and 1 Corinthians, two key words stand out, and especially in this day as we come to partake of the Lord's Supper. Those two key words are remember and examine. Remembering and examining. And we've got to ask, what are we remembering this morning? Well, we're remembering the Lord's death, His sacrifice for our sins, our forgiveness, our atonement, our justification, all given to us freely because of God's love by grace. This is unearned by our works, by our righteousness. It's unearned. And we remember today, as other days, in a very symbolic manner with cracker and juice, or bread and the wine, so to speak. We do this in a symbolic manner because of what we believe in our hearts. And beloved, what we believe in our hearts, eventually we express with our actions, don't we? We do that with every other thing in life. We do that with every other thing in life. When you love someone, eventually, and should, you express that with your words and you express that with your actions. It's like that with anything in life. When you appreciate what someone has done, you express that with your actions. Today, we come to remember the Lord's death until He returns. We do this as a living ordinance. It is not a memorial service, but it's a living ordinance that we are remembering of what Christ did to purchase our sin-sick and lost souls and made us alive through Jesus Christ, and that He is coming again. And until we see Him in the clouds, we are to do this in remembrance of Him, that we will always remember. This is symbolic today. It is symbolic of what we believe. We are expressing outward with our actions as we take the cracker, but we are symbolically receiving the Lord's body and so the blood. We're remembering, but what are we to examine? The Apostle Paul then said, you need to examine yourselves and not do this, what we are to do in remembrance of Jesus Christ and His action of love and mercy and grace in an unworthy manner. So we are to examine our faith. First, I would say that to make sure that we are indeed in the faith. And the Scriptures tell us, examine, test your faith to make sure that you are in the faith. And that is to ask, have we, every person here, have we received the gift of salvation through Christ by believing that He is the one true Redeemer and that what He did at the cross of Calvary is indeed able to justify us before a holy God, and we are acknowledging our sin and having called out to Him and by faith alone as our Savior, asking Christ Jesus to make His home in our bodies. That's examining your faith. So you can take the Lord's Supper and go to hell if it's a religious act. You can eat 1,000 little crackers. And Big Dave, you can even get into the juice closet and drink it all. That was a good story this morning. Ask Dave to tell you that story when he was young. But beloved, if you've not by faith received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, it means nothing. It's just crackers and juice. But to the child of God who has believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ and has said, I can't save myself, but Jesus is the Savior. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And you've called out to Him to save you and forgive you and justify you and make you right before a holy God one day when you stand before Him. And in that day, when you stand before the presence of a holy and righteous God, you will not be standing there naked in your sins, but the blood of Christ by faith will be covering you. And when God looks at you, He'll see His Son, Jesus. We must examine ourselves to see if we are in the faith. But also we are, as baptized believers, before we approach this table by invitation of the Lord, to examine our lives to see, listen, if we are living in a manner that pleases the Lord, and that we are not harboring known and unconfessed sins, that we're seeking to serve Him as Lord over all creation, seeking to know Him greater and growing in the grace that has been given to us. So that we might not be like I was on that one Sunday morning as an immature young preteen, shaming the Lord's body and treating it as disgraceful and unworthy because of my actions. So we do that in many ways. You don't have to be a young kid being smart aleck and funny and trying to get your buddy to laugh to dip some cracker in some juice to take the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. It's how we approach the table in our hearts, and that was the issue that morning. John 6 and 52 through 58, one of the difficult texts, it's not difficult to really understand what He was asking us to do, but it's difficult to swallow. And it was in that day, and it is in this day as well. And you read in beginning in chapter 6, Jesus had just done this mighty miracle of taking just some bread and fish and feeding many thousands. And then that next morning, He had went to the other side of the sea. And many of these people, large crowd, began to look for Jesus the next day. They wanted the miracle worker to bring them more bread and fish. And they followed to the other side of the sea. And Jesus began to have conversation with them. And I will not read it all, but in John 6 and 52, See, Jesus has already begun to talk about how he is the bread of life. And they're disputing with him. And in 52 it says, the Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Because Jesus had just made a very hard statement about eating his flesh. So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say unto you, and notice what Jesus did and didn't do. He took the issue farther. He didn't back off and say, oh, you didn't get that. Let me go back and start over and reword that. No, he pressed on deeper into the conversation. Jesus said unto them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks on my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him, as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father. So whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. And the thousands fell down at his feet. No. They all left, except a few, his disciples. What is he talking about? And what did Christ mean by these words? Or better yet, why did he say them? That is not smart evangelism, right? You don't reach the multitudes by telling them to eat your flesh and drink your blood, right? The Son of Man does. He was telling them that he is more than just the people's miracle worker. But he is the Savior. He is the Messiah sent by God. He is the King of the kingdom of God. And he used this strong hyperbole to reveal that if you want to know God, you must believe in me by faith. You must receive me by faith as if you receive food into your mouth for nourishment. And you must serve me by faith. No, it's not easy. It's not an easy saying. I want to read you a prayer that I found in a book from the Anabaptist. This prayer is probably from the 1600s. And of course, the Anabaptists is our heritage. They were the rebaptizers. They went against the state church of baptizing infants, and they believed in believer's baptism when someone reached that age and that they could consciously make a decision impacted by the Holy Spirit to receive Jesus Christ. And they began to rebaptize adults that had been baptized as infants, and they went against the state church, and they were persecuted greatly. Thousands gave their lives, imprisoned, burned, drowned, killed. This was a prayer by an early Anabaptist minister on a day when they were partaking of the Lord's Supper. Please listen to this. You are marvelous in your holy ones, O God, and therefore we cannot proceed in sleeping, easy living, idleness, crying, singing, blabbering, ringing bells, or burning candles. And I think what he meant there was all the religious acts that people did to appear to be spiritual during these days of the Lord's Supper. He said, he who would be a Christian must risk life and limb. You see, because they did. I've risked really nothing by being here today, have you? But they did. There were no mega churches with the Anabaptists because they had to meet in homes, because they had to meet secretively for one thing. Listen, he says, oh, it is a bitter meal to eat the flesh of Christ and drink his blood. Thus it was also difficult for his disciples when he said that unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. So many became angry. They fell back and did not walk further with him. And here we see that eating and drinking is something else than is lived in the world. Here he explains his last comment of what eating and drinking at this table is, and what really by faith in Jesus Christ is. He says it lies in suffering, persecution, and being killed for the Lord's sake. As Scripture testifies everywhere of the blessed, for all who want to live a godly life must be persecuted. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and Acts 14. Let me go on a little bit more, please. Thus we eat his flesh and drink his blood if we give our body, that is, the flesh, unto death and pour out our blood for his name's sake, his words and commands in things both small and great. Listen to this, please. All this is very scriptural. I'll not give every scripture text reference that he gave. With Christ, we would like to lie in Mary's lap and receive the offering of the wise men. We'd like to eat with the tax collectors, rulers, and kings of this world and go to the wedding. But to flee to Egypt, to forsake everything, to go to Gethsemane, to sweat drops of blood in fear, suffer imprisonment, mockery, ridicule, and to be killed is not given to everyone. To have communion with him and Easter and feet washing, we would like to experience, but to follow his example and love one another unto death, as Christ did for us, we will pass by. One last sentence I read in his message. That is the severe test that Paul speaks of in 1 Corinthians 15 that we just read, where he said to examine yourselves. That is the severe test of which Paul speaks, that each one may test themselves before eating of this bread and drinking of this cup, that they may not be guilty of the body and blood of Christ, and his blood not shed in vain, as it was with Judas. And that was 1 Corinthians 11, by the way. Judas was there that evening too. But in Judas's life, the blood of Christ was shed in vain. May it not be with us. Now, as we approach this table and forever. But when we receive Christ, may we receive him not only as Savior to forgive us our sins and cleanse us and make us ready to appear before a great and mighty and terrible God, but we also have him and receive him as Lord, and may we serve him faithfully. And no, maybe it's not about shedding our blood this morning like it was this pastor and many other Anabaptists who gave their life to worship. But there's other things that we need to be ready to shed if we say we love Christ and serve him. Amen? Amen. The greatest thing this morning is our sins. Whether you're an unbeliever and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior today, you know what you bring to him this morning to be saved now, here today, is your sins. I can't do anything with them. I can't clean myself up enough. And they're weighing me down into a great pit called hell. Christ, will you take my sins and will you be my Savior? And those precious words of Christ, all those who come to me, I'm not going to cast aside. He'll say, yes, I'll take them, and better yet, I'll tell you, I dealt with them at Calvary 2,000 years ago. And I'll cast them into the sea of forgetfulness as far as the east is from the west. And you'll be a child of the Father. And Christian, maybe you've been saved a long time. But in truly examining your life today, you know there's some things you need to be ready to shed as you approach this table today. And the Word teaches us again in 1 John in chapter 1, if we confess our sins, He is able and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Before we come to the Lord's table, to observe the Lord's Supper, to obediently remember his death, his burial, and resurrection until he returns. As Lorinda comes to remind us that the blood of Jesus has never lost its power, and it is still able to wash you white as snow today. So let us examine ourselves, let us examine our faith and our faithful living as baptized believers, knowing this, that as Christ died for our sins, we too are called to die to self, take up our cross, and follow Him.
We hope you've enjoyed our service and invite you to return to our website and listen to the numerous other podcasts we have posted. If you would like to join us in person, service times and location are listed on our homepage. Thank you for listening.